Studio 360.
Except for a light in the basement, the house is dark when he pulls in.
This is the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Richard Russo reading from a short story he wrote called Downstairs.
Feeling the old familiar surge of panic, he wonders if his sister has heard his tires on the loose gravel. Her bedroom is on the second floor, at the back of the house, so maybe not. In which case, he could just back out and return to the city. But no, he'd lay odds on her being in the front room, standing at one of the dark windows, peering out from between the drawn blinds. She's probably been standing there since the sun went down, waiting for him.
Russo based this spooky gothic story on a painting. And the house described elsewhere in the story is precisely what you see in that same painting. A dark brick exterior, this single light on in the basement. The story, in general, captures pretty perfectly the painting's mysterious, sinister atmosphere. The picture is by an artist called Lyndon Frederick, who got Russo and a bunch of other fiction writers to write short stories based on particular paintings of his, including Tess Gerritsen, Anthony Doerr, and Joshua Ferris. Producer Matt Fassica brings us the story of this unusual group collaboration, which is called Night Stories.
Night is when all of Lyndon Frederick's paintings take place, right at the edge of night, when there's still just a glimmer of light in the sky and people are turning on their house lights, or maybe you see the light from a TV or a string of Christmas lights in a darkened room.
There's a little bit of an apprehension. There's a little anxiety. It just has a certain kind of feeling. Somebody described it as the point where the dog becomes the wolf. You know, it's that change in temperament.
Lyndon finds his subjects by going on long drives, especially through small towns in rural Maine.
Where else? I'll just hop in the car and I'll just take off and I'll go away for a couple days and I'll stay in, like, you know, flea bag motels and just walk around at night.
To meet Lyndon, I went up to Belfast, the small city on the Maine coast where he lives. He's a trim, strong-looking guy in his 60s with short-cropped gray hair.
Hey, Lyndon.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Is this a good spot, or should I pull up?
Lyndon took me for a drive to show me some of the places he's used as settings for his paintings. We drove to a strip mall on the outskirts of town.
Okay, so what I'm looking at is the hot dog stand.
In the parking lot, there was this drive-up hot dog stand. Lyndon parked the truck, got out, and brought his camera and tripod. He needed the tripod because it was getting dark, and he needed to hold the camera still for slow shutter speeds.
This is just the side of the building that is being illuminated by the kind of big arc lights in the middle of the parking lot. It's really dark around it, but the building itself is really light.
This is the first step in Lyndon's process. He finds a building that interests him, and then he takes pictures of it from all angles.
Oh, yeah.
When you take a photo at twilight, you can expose for the colors of the sky, and that makes any objects in the foreground really dark. Or you can expose for the houses or trees in the foreground, but that makes the colors of the sky kind of washed out whitish color. So Lyndon's paintings, while they're realistic, they're actually doing something that photos can't do.
A camera really struggles to capture this, the fact that there are bright lights and dark trees and dark areas. They can't get them both at the same time very easily. Where me as a human, I can make those determinations when I make the canvas.
Lyndon paints the kind of places that used to have a big factory or paper mill that employed everyone in town. Kind of like Perth. That's the town in upstate New York where he grew up. When Lyndon drives around in rural parts of the country, it's kind of like he's trying to find towns like Perth. These are towns that couldn't be further from the lobster shacks and lighthouses that most people think of when they think of Maine.
The Maine coast, rock-bound with smashing, boiling surf that wets the faces of cliffs as they look out toward the broad Atlantic.
A lot of writers collect Lyndon's work, and it kind of makes sense. There's a grittiness and a melancholy to his paintings. They feel like they're illustrating a short story. One of those writers who collects Lyndon's work is Richard Russo. Russo also happened to grow up in a hard luck mill town a few miles from where Lyndon did in upstate New York. And both of them lived for a long time in Maine, although it took them years to actually meet.
I kept hearing about this painter up in Belfast.
That's Richard Russo.
And people kept saying, well, you should really know his work. He paints just like you write.
Thinking about all the writers who owned his work, Lyndon had an idea.
And I said, you know, it'd be really cool if I actually had a show where I did the picture and I had the writer write a story of some kind.
Lyndon's idea was he'd send an image of the detailed study he made for each painting, and the writer would use that as a prompt for a short story. One of the writers he approached was Elizabeth Strout, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Olive Kitteridge, and also a native Mainer.
I received a copy of the painting, and I was intrigued by it. And so I said, yes, I will do this. It's called Dish, and it's a house, a small house with the Christmas lights inside, and there's an old blue truck parked next to it, and then a sign that warns of children, one of those yellow signs with children. There's a darkness to it and a starkness, and it was just very evocative. What interests me so much is trying to find a way to enter the lives of the people that are living in these landscapes. My job as a novelist or a short story writer is to try and, you know, get inside those people's lives and see how active those inner lives are.
So she started thinking about the house and the painting and who might live there. But she didn't feel like writing a story that took place entirely inside the house.
The character, I realized, was going to be outside and taking a walk.
That's the title of the story, The Walk. Her character, Denis Pelletier, is a retired mill worker, and he's feeling anxious.
About his children, something was wrong. This came to Denis Pelletier as he walked alone on the road one night in late December. It was a chilly night, and he was not dressed for it, having only a coat over his t-shirt with his pair of old jeans. He had not intended to walk, but after dinner he felt the need in him arise, and then later, as his wife readied herself for bed, he said to her, "I have to walk." He was 69 years old and in good shape, though there were mornings when he felt very stiff.
As Denny keeps walking, he realizes that maybe what's bothering him isn't his children, but the decisions that he's made in his own life.
As Denny approached the river and could see in the moonlight how the river was moving quickly, he felt as though his life had been a piece of bark on that river, just going along, not thinking at all, headed toward the waterfall.
In Elizabeth Strout's fiction, the emotion is always running right under the surface. Her novels deal with stoic New England-y characters who aren't always the best at expressing their feelings. She sees some of those same qualities in Lyndon's paintings.
They're so packed with silence, and I love that. I just love how the silence of the image is somehow packed with emotion.
Another writer who signed on to the project was Lily King. She's the author of the novel Euphoria. I went to meet King at her apartment in Portland, Maine. She had two very friendly labradoodles who were running around and barking
Albus,
at the neighbors.
Come here. Albus.
King remembers getting the email from Lyndon and saying yes right away.
I think the deadline was like a year and a half away, you know, because he had to paint the paintings. And that was great. You know, I'll always say yes to something that's a year and a half away.
King chose this painting of a three-story house with a light on in the middle floor above a kind of storefront. And something about that twilight sky caught her imagination.
The time of day, you know, just that that time that's neither day nor night is so alluring to a writer. And there's something about that house that that really reached some part of my childhood.
So Lyndon sent King a copy of the painting to use while she was writing.
And I propped it up in my bedroom, and it sort of looked at me for several more months, kind of threateningly. And I kind of froze for a little while. I knew there was a story in there. I just, for a long time, I didn't know what it was.
The story wasn't coming. And then something happened that put the whole idea of writing stories out of King's mind.
My mother died, and then 6 months later, my father died. And the whole time, I had the image, but those deaths seemed to wipe out my imagination for a little while. So I ignored it, and I knew that the deadline was at the end of September, I believe. And my father had died on August 25th. So really, by the middle of September, I hate for Linda to hear this, but I hadn't done anything. And so I remember I sat right at that table over there, and I sat down to do it, and I had, I don't know, maybe 5 days. and it was the first creative thing I had done for a long time, and it just poured out of me.
King's story is about a woman whose estranged father shows up one day.
And is perhaps some sort of criminal or some sort of hero, we're not exactly sure.
The father drops out again, disappears, and the woman's friend decides to go looking for him. She follows the one clue she has, that he lives in a house with a mansard roof somewhere in Portland, the house in Linden's painting. But King made one change to the house in her story.
The downstairs with the lights, it immediately seemed to me like a hairdresser.
So she sent the story in. Linden hadn't finished the full-size painting yet, and that business retail space on the bottom floor was still a blank.
Well, I hadn't decided what it was going to be. Lily wrote a story, a great story, and in it she made reference to an old-fashioned beauty parlor. And I said, oh, great, that's it. So this was like true collaboration because I got feedback from her story. So I did some research and I created this old-fashioned beauty parlor in this picture. Well, as a reward to Lily, I put her initials in the dumpster in graffiti.
If you look real close, you can see them. An L and a K, looking like they've been spray painted on the side of a dumpster in the driveway next to the hairdressers. It's kind of like the painting has two signatures. For the painter and the writer, who created the picture together.
Had he said a number when he'd said Graham Street and she'd forgotten it? Old sea captain's house, he'd said, not wealthy, no view of the sea, hairdresser on the bottom floor.
You can see that beauty parlor painting that inspired Lily King's story, along with other pictures by Lyndon Frederick, at pri.org/studio360. The book of paintings and the accompanying short fiction, Night Stories, is out now. Our story was produced by Matt Frassica, who's got his own podcast called The Briny.